And he also spent close to 10 years in California around the 70s. How does it compare? And you've been back to California recently. So how does it compare? This is, we're talking about the Stanford, San Francisco Bay Area.
Right.
How is it different now from how it was back then? And perhaps it's not so different in other regards.
Okay, right. Actually, it was only 6 years in California. The 4 years was in Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we saw California the first time on a trip from Detroit. And we both fell in love with California, my first wife, more than I did. But so we never managed in the end to live in San Francisco. But it was a complete chance that I went back to Stanford there to do a PhD, and that's how we really lived in California. Now, how was it? Well, for instance, the Stanford campus was probably still much the same as it is now, many less buildings, but it was still charming. We found a lovely apartment in Menlo Park, the center of Menlo Park. Yeah, I do remember we found this lovely apartment. We'd been paying in Detroit, I'd been paying, I think, $100 a month, and we didn't have much money. I was going to earn $300 a month, tax-free. I was paid that much, plus all my tuition, everything. But we were poor, and my wife worked. She got a job working for British Airways. She'd worked for British Airways in Detroit, in the reservations, and she managed to get a job in San Francisco. So we had some money, but, you know, we thought our budget, we could go to 120, we thought. But this apartment was 150. And we were so torn about this, and we loved it so much, but in the end we said yes. There was another condition, no children.
Mm.
The landlady was very uptight about that sort of thing. So we had no children. But when we did have a child, we had to move, and we moved into the Stanford married housing. So Stanford is very recognizable when I go back. It's the same. Yeah. What's different is the students. I mean, it was all white then. And now, it's like going to Google. I mean, talk about rainbow and young. So that's different. For instance, I still, of course, get the Stanford magazine, the alumni magazine. Just looking at the names of the classes and everything, it's a completely radical change. Berkeley, I remember Berkeley always looked a bit more hippie and rainbow and strange.
Still does.
Still does, okay. But Stanford was, you know, rather white and uptight. When the student uprisings came, Stanford did participate, but behind Berkeley. We did have the National Guard on campus at least once. In 69, I think that was. But Berkeley had them often.
Well, yeah.
So we were, it was, you know, Stanford is nicer looking and so a bit more comfortable than Berkeley. Now, the Bay Area itself, yes. Well, first of all, when I arrived, there was no Bayshore Freeway. 280 was built while I was there, I think. It went right across SLAC, across the Accelerator, if I remember that.
That's it.
Now, I didn't work at SLAC. I worked at the university. And because I was I was in the mechanical engineering department, but I was doing nuclear engineering, our offices were at the Ryan Lab, which was a lab that had been an electrical engineering lab with great big equipment, and that they'd built a test reactor there. So Stanford had a little test reactor, water-cooled reactor on campus. It's gone now, and that's where I worked. So, the traffic. Now, the traffic was still heavy, everything being relative in those days, and I do remember very well going back for my sabbatical in 77 and thinking, my God, it's the rush hour, you know. And then I realized it's always the rush hour compared to what I think. The traffic, of course, in the States is better managed than in Europe. Even in Detroit, when I went to Detroit in 62, the roads, the traffic lights were synchronized for miles. Of course, it was pretty easy in Detroit because they had these long square grids of roads. But the idea of having a synchronized traffic light in Switzerland, I mean, that was unheard of, just unheard of. I remember also coming back from the States to Switzerland one time, and I turned right on red, which was a very, very good. And in those days, there were practically no cameras.
Right.
And I just happened to do it where there was a camera.
Of course.
And I remember taking the trouble to go to the judge and explain that where I came, turning right on red was legal, and it was a very good idea, and why don't the Swiss adopt it? But he still made me pay the fine.